BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And yes, today, the day after our special 35th anniversary program, we are going to have a news roundup here today on the broadcast. And we thank you for tuning in. And we'll cover a number of issues on the broadcast today. I wish we could be extensive of all the things that are happening, but there is so much that is going on. We'll cover as many topics as we can here today. Did have a number of people contact us yesterday asking for that complimentary book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. And if you missed getting your copy, you may simply contact us by email, vcy@vcyamerica.org. vcy@vcyamerica.org, or just give us a call at 1-800-729-9829 to request your complimentary copy. And that'll tell you more about the background of VCY America and the Crosstalk program that comes your way daily here on this station. Well, getting into the news for the week, reactions to the death of Queen Elizabeth II pouring in from leaders around the globe. There was a statement from Britain's new King Charles III from Buckingham Palace saying that the death of my beloved mother, Her Majesty the Queen, is a moment of great sadness for me and all members of my family. We mourn profoundly the passing of a cherished sovereign and a much-loved mother. I know her loss will be deeply felt throughout the country, the realms, and the Commonwealth, and by countless people around the world. During the period of mourning and change, my family and I will be comforted and sustained by our knowledge of the respect and deep affection which the Queen was so widely held. President Joe Biden reminded people in a statement about the Queen's steadying presence in an ever-changing world. There was also a statement from former President Trump sending condolences, saying Queen Elizabeth's historic and remarkable reign left a tremendous legacy of peace and prosperity for Great Britain. And former President George W. Bush praised the Queen, recalling spending time with her and his wife Laura's fondest memories being at the palace. Very interesting indeed. But something in regard to her, in addition to her royal title, and by the way, that original story coming from CBN News, but also Todd Starnes picking up that in addition to her royal title, Queen Elizabeth II was a supreme governor of the Church of England and attended church weekly, pray daily, according to the Bible Society. In August, she wrote, "Throughout my life, the message and teachings of Christ have been my guide, and in them I find hope." She said, "I've been and remain very grateful to you for your prayers and to God for his steadfast love. I have indeed seen his faithfulness." She wrote, "The servant queen and the king she serves," discussing her faith in Christ. The Queen often spoke about her Christian faith and her Christmas messages. In her final message, she said, "Jesus, a man whose teachings have been handed down from generation to generation and have been the bedrock of my faith, his birth marked a new beginning." Also mentioning in Christmas 2000, she said, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example." And let me just play one excerpt here from 2016 from her Christmas message.
Jesus Christ lived obscurely for most of his life and never traveled far. He was maligned and rejected by many, though he had done no wrong. And yet billions of people now follow his teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. I am one of them because Christ's example helps me see the value of doing small things with great love, whoever does them, and whatever they themselves believe. The message of Christmas reminds us that inspiration is a gift to be given as well as received, and that love begins small but always grows. I wish you all a very happy Christmas.
That was from Queen Elizabeth on her Christmas message 2016. Well, I find it interesting. There is going to be a remarkable change taking place here, no doubt, in the days to come. as the new King Charles III is a known globalist and advocate for global reset, and certainly an advocate of for man-made climate change, as far as warning regarding the need to reduce carbon emissions and taking drastic steps in this regard. And it's just going to be a matter of time, no doubt, that we're going to see his handiwork, his take, that is going to be quite a contrast to what we saw from his mother as she was queen. So there will be more to come pertaining to King Charles III. Born Mary Elizabeth Truss, Liz Truss has now replaced Boris Johnson as well as the new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. New American points out in her victory statement, she declared, "I campaigned as a conservative. I will govern as a conservative. I will deliver a bold plan to cut taxes and grow our economy." We'll have to see what happens there. But yesterday, she said that she is lifting the ban on fracking to help her country reduce exorbitant energy prices. She said she will enable oil and gas developers to seek permission from the government to increase domestic fuel supplies as the UK looks to combat its energy crisis. Truss said that she hopes to get fracking operations started within the next 6 months and is also approving 100 new exploration licenses for oil and gas drilling in the North Sea. She said, "We will make sure that the UK is a net energy exporter by 2040. She said that to the Parliament. Well, notthebee.com reporting that London, once a symbol of liberalism and Western civilization, now putting up facial recognition cameras to spy on its citizens in public, the exact same way that communist China does. Indeed, two of these rather sinister-looking structures, which appear to double as street lamps, have been installed at a location where this is Baskerville Road, where homes fetch up to £10 million. A sign beneath them says that they are there to prevent crime and promote public safety. And just there is a these are two cameras in a high class neighborhood. But for the strange white cameras are just two of the millions that have quietly been installed throughout Britain in recent months. They report millions of cameras have been installed. LifeSiteNews.com indicating that the March for Life in the UK recorded its largest turnout yet. The annual March for Life held in London last Saturday saw at least 7,000 participants attend. LifeNews.com, Joe Biden announced last Friday that his administration will illegally turn VA hospitals into abortion centers in a move that breaks federal law. Department of Veteran Affairs said Friday it plans to kill babies in abortions in cases of rape or incest or in cases where the mother's life or health is in danger, even though doctors repeatedly say abortions are never medically necessary. The VA says babies will be killed in abortion regardless of state restrictions, which means VA hospitals will become abortion centers even in pro-life states that have banned abortion. Senator James Lankford, pro-life Republican from Oklahoma, says the move is illegal and previously sent a letter to the Secretary of Veteran Affairs to share his concerns. Specifically, Biden's move is illegal under federal law. Section 106 of the Veteran Health Act of 1992 prohibits the VA from providing abortions. Will somebody please stand up and prohibit this from happening? To immediately file to stop this from taking place. LifeNews.com reports a National Medical Association that represents 7,000 OBGYNs is refuting the false claim that killing unborn babies in abortion is health care. The pro-abortion movement and many mainstream news outlets have been repeating that claim frequently. Abortion is health care. Well, tens of thousands of doctors across the U.S. believe unborn babies are second patients in every pregnancy and that their lives are valuable. Last week, the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists began a new campaign to help Americans understand that abortions are not health care. Includes a new fact sheet entitled Myth Versus Fact, correcting misinformation on maternal medical care that refutes nine of the most common lies about abortion. The Daily Wire takes us to the state of Michigan. A judge has struck down Michigan's 1931 abortion law that banned nearly all abortions. Wednesday, Judge Elizabeth Gleicher of Michigan's Court of Claims declared the nearly 100-year-old law unconstitutional. The law made it a crime to perform abortions except when the mother's life is in danger. She ruled, though, that the law will endanger the health and lives of women, violating both their bodily integrity and right to equal protection as protected under the Michigan Constitution, which she said could be interpreted more broadly than the federal Constitution. We'll see what happens as that moves up the legal chain. Okay, CNSNews.com. Yes, men can get pregnant. More than one in five Democrats say a new survey finds, and the executive director of a group advocating the unrestricted right to abortion agrees. The online survey conducted by WPA Intelligence from August 22 through 25 found that 22% of Democrats agreed with the statement that some men can get pregnant. Daily Wire reported the story on Tuesday. Women identifying as Democrats were more likely to agree that men can become pregnant, including 36% of white, college-educated female Democrats. The Star News Network reporting the record number of illegal migrants has been entering the U.S. since President Joe Biden took office, are now burdening the country's immigration system, the New York Times reported. Since the time, or rather the start of the Biden administration, migrants have flowed into the U.S. in record numbers, with 3,463,430 migrants encountered at the southern border between January of 21 and August of 22, according to a U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The high number of migrants entering the country are taxing the U.S. asylum system by increasing wait times, forcing cities and states to take on the burden of supporting them. Cities like Portland, Maine, have experienced parts of the issue because the state provides many public benefits to asylum seekers. That benefits include medical care and housing through the Maine's Department of Health and Human Services. But folks, the systems are being taxed, and so therefore, the city funded more housing to the tune of $9 million in Portland, which raised property taxes by 4.8% on the residents, so forcing the local residents to pay for this so-called asylum that they're providing. Townhall.com reports that the mayor of our nation's capital, Muriel Bowser, declared a public emergency yesterday, over the number of illegal immigrants heading to Washington, D.C. in the latest hypocritical turn by Democrat-run cities and states when they confront the impact of their policies. So far, the nation's capital has seen about 9,500 illegal immigrants arrive since April, apparently enough to cause the mayor to declare the public emergency. Meanwhile, 7,000 to 8,000 immigrants are illegally crossing into Texas from Mexico every single day, according to Texas DPS. According to Mayor Bowser's declaration, City Hall will throw $10 million in taxpayer money at creating more bureaucracy in the form of a new Office of Migrant Services that will provide support with reception, respite, meals, temporary accommodations, urgent medical needs, transportation, connection to resettlement services, translation services, and other needs that are to be determined. Unbelievable, folks, the chaos that's being caused by the lax border control by the Biden administration. Matter of fact, a Daily Caller News Foundation reporter described how well Arizona's effort to build a wall with shipping containers was working. Republican Governor Ducey ordered the use of shipping containers to close gaps at the border. And this is closing up some gaps there. And the reporter here says, investigative reporter DCNF said, I spoke with Yuma County Supervisor Jonathan Lines, who told me that the shipping containers have reduced trafficking in the area by 100%. So it looks like they're going to pick up with the same procedure in Yuma as well. We'll have some more stories after the break. It's a News Roundup Friday here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish, showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it floats to the surface or it sinks to the bottom, where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the Great Flood of Noah's Day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris. The flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news wrap-up, roundup day here today, and we thank you for tuning in today. Lord willing, Matt Staver will be with us on Monday's program with a warning about this so-called Respect for Marriage Act that rumors have are being slipped into a must-pass continuing resolution piece of legislation before the end of this month, and we'll be getting into that issue further on Monday. Lord willing, on Tuesday, Barbara Lowe Fisher scheduled to be with us to do the interview that had been scheduled for earlier this week, and we trust this will all come about, and lots of information coming your way. We were just talking about the borders a bit ago. CNSNews.com reporting that 10,100 pounds of fentanyl have been seized at the U.S.-Mexico border in the first 10 months of fiscal year 2022. 10,100 pounds. They say it takes only 2 milligrams to kill a person. Okay, from Todd Starnes, the predator who kidnapped the Memphis moms was supposed to be in prison serving time for another kidnapping. Last Friday morning, predator kidnapped Eliza Fletcher, beloved schoolteacher, St. Mary's Episcopal Church. She's also a devoted wife, mother of two young boys. 34-year-old was snatched off the street during a routine run near the University of Memphis campus. Police say the abduction was bloody and violent, captured on video. And come to find out that the alleged abductor was arrested, charged with kidnapping a local attorney during a violent carjacking in 2001. The attorney who survived was stuffed in the trunk of the car. That was in 2001. The individual was sentenced to 24 years in prison. Didn't carry out the sentence, though. They were asked why at the Department of Corrections. They said that, well, he served a sentence, but he received credits for the time that he was in jail and for completing programs. It doesn't matter. If you do the crime, you do the time. The problem is that violent criminals are being treated as victims. That's why the Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton embraced legislation to fix that problem called Truth in Sentencing, so that criminals would have to serve 100% of their sentences for 31 different violent crimes. Had this been on the books sooner, the individual alleged to have done this would still be in jail, and the teacher would still be attending services at Second Presbyterian Church. To make matters worse, Memphis voters just booted out a tough-on-crime Republican district attorney out of office, Steve Mulroy. The new district attorney is a George Soros-styled prosecutor. Steve Mulroy, the new district attorney, a George Soros-styled prosecutor, reports Todd Starnes. We have from FaithWire, when a new Illinois law takes effect next year, it will do away with the cash bail system in the state, meaning that suspects charged with felonies, including second-degree murder, aggravated battery, and arson, will be released without bail. The Counter Signal reports that the Safety, Accountability, Fairness, and Equity Today Act, called the Safety Act, would end cash bail and include 12 non-detainable offenses, second-degree murder, aggravated battery, and arson without bail, as well as drug-induced homicide, kidnapping, burglary, robbery, intimidation, aggravated DUI, aggravated fleeing and eluding, drug offenses, and threatening a public official. When the law takes effect January 1 of 2023, criminals charged with the crimes mentioned above will be released without bail. Watch out, Illinois. The bail system will be replaced by a system that considers the offense severity, the risk of not appearing in court, and the potential threat to the community if a person is released. Friends, we're going to see more mayhem than ever breaking out in the state of Illinois. If what we're seeing is not enough, it's going to get worse. Washington Free Beacon reporting the Biden administration set to spend $3.6 million to deploy vending machines filled with drug supplies in rural Kentucky, an effort the Biden administration claims will reduce stigma for drug users. The project from the National Institutes of Health was launched in August, will study the effectiveness of harm reduction kiosks in rural Appalachia that contain injection equipment, fentanyl test strips, hygiene kits, condoms, and other supplies. The vending machines allow drug users to obtain items like syringes without interacting with a health professional. It's amazing, folks, the enablement that's going on. And then when people are convicted of offenses and violent offenses, no, you can't have cash bail here. Need to let you right out on the streets. And many, many are going to repeat crimes even while they're awaiting trial on the crimes that they're already being charged with. We're seeing lawlessness abound. Friends, we're seeing the times of Noah, are we not? Where men did that which was evil continuously? Every imagination, the heart, is being carried out? CNSNews.com reporting White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre continues to call out so-called mega Republicans for reasons that include casting doubt on the legitimacy of the 2020 presidential election. But on Tuesday this week, ladies and gentlemen, the tables were turned. She was forced to defend her own words, challenging the legitimacy of the 2016 presidential election and also the election of Georgia Governor Brian Kemp against Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams still denies that she lost that election, still challenging the election. There's no problem there. It's only when you are challenging the last election, 2020. So White House press correspondent Peter Ducey asked some questions of her, and I'd like you to just kind of hear that interaction that took place.
A follow-up about the MAGA Republican attention. So if we're all in agreement that it is incorrect to say the 2020 election was stolen, what about the 2016 election?
Look, I'm not going to go back to where we were or what happened in 2016. We're going to focus on the here and now. We're going to focus on what's happening today, this inflection point that the president pointed out very clearly, very decisively in a few speeches about what the country needs to do at this time to bring the country together. And he believes that's where majority of Americans are when it comes to protecting our democracy, when it comes to protecting our rights, and when it comes to protecting our freedoms. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to focus on where we are today.
But just in trying to understand the new attention on the MAGA Republicans, you tweeted in 2016,
I knew this
Trump
was coming.
Stole an election.
I was waiting, Peter, when you were going to ask me that question.
Well, great. Here we go. You tweeted Trump stole an election. You tweeted Brian Kemp stole an election. If denying election results is extreme now, why would
So let's be really clear. That comparison that you made is just ridiculous.
I have been.
Well, you're asking me a question.
Yes.
Let me answer it.
And you said it was ridiculous.
I was talking specifically at that time of what was happening with voting rights and what was in danger of voting rights. That's what I was speaking to at the time.
Yep.
And here's the thing. I have said Governor Kemp won the election in Georgia. I've been clear about that. I have said President Trump won the election of 2016, and I've been clear about that. What we are talking about right now is, let's not forget what happened on January 6, 2021, when we saw an insurrection, a mob that was incited by the person who occupied this campus, this facility at that time. And it was an attack on our democracy. Let's not forget, people died that day. Law enforcement were attacked that day. That was the danger that we were seeing at the time. That's what the president has called out, and that's what he's going to continue to call out. So, yes, when you have MAGA Republicans, a extreme part of Republicans who just deny or do not want to really say what exactly happened on that day or say it was a protest when it clearly was not a peaceful protest. That's not what we saw on that day. Yes, the president's going to call that out. And here's the thing. Majority of Americans agree with him. Majority of Americans agree with this president on protecting our democracy, protecting our freedom, and protecting our rights. That's what we're talking about today, and that's what the president's going to focus on.
Wow, what a response. What a response. I mean, you can't. Don't look back at what I tweeted in 2016 when I questioned the election of President Trump into that position. Do not question when I don't ask me about when Governor Brian Kemp, when I questioned his winning against Stacey Abrams. No, that's ridiculous to make that comparison. Isn't that interesting when the tables have been turned on her in this matter? And then she talked about President Trump inciting a mob, this insurrection. Very interesting language there coming from the White House press secretary. Well, I know many of you are following Carrie Lake, who is running for governor in the state of Arizona. And the reporters trying to trip her up on many occasions. Another Joe Biden speech wherein he declared all supporters of Trump and the Republican Party enemies of the state. A reporter tried to turn the tables on Lake, who, like others, accused Biden of dividing the country. So without fail, the reporter asked, "Do you feel Donald Trump is doing the same by falsely telling people that he won the election when he lost it?" Here's that question and how Carrie Lake, running for governor of Arizona, responded.
So you feel like Joe Biden is dividing the country, but do you feel like Donald Trump is doing the same by falsely telling people that he won that election when he lost it?
How does that divide the country? Questioning an election where there are obviously problems is dividing the country? Since when can we not ask questions about our elections? As a journalist for many years, I was a journalist after 2016, and I distinctly remember many people just like you asking a lot of questions about the 2016 election results. And nobody tried to shut you up. Nobody tried to tell Hillary Clinton to shut up. Nobody tried to tell Kamala Harris when she was questioning the legitimacy of these electronic voting machines to stop. We have freedom of speech in this country, and you of all people should appreciate that. You're supposedly a journalist. You should appreciate that. So I don't see how asking questions about an election where there are many problems is dividing a country. What I do see dividing a country is shutting people down, censoring people, canceling people, trying to destroy people's lives when they do ask questions. Last I heard, we still have the Constitution. It's hanging by a thread, thanks to some of the work some people in this area have done. But we're going to save that Constitution, and we're going to bring back freedom of speech. And maybe someday you'll thank us for that.
Carrie Lake, who's running for governor of the state of Arizona. Well, Todd Starnes points out that asked this question: did Biden appoint a Satanist as a monkeypox coordinator? His a Pentagon-wearing appointment to lead the White House response to the monkeypox outbreak raising eyebrows. This is Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, was named as the White House National Monkeypox Response Deputy Coordinator in August. And he was Newsmax host Benny Johnson asked a lengthy thread on Twitter, did he appoint a Satanist? You see, Johnson shared magazine spreads and images that this appointee had posted where he's displaying the Pentagon, pentagram, that is, the official symbol of the Church of Satan. And Johnson pointed out pentagram is proudly being displayed. And also other matters as well that of his involvement and tats and so forth is such that a displaying that causing the concern that there may be a Satanist now as monkeypox coordinator. The question's being asked, and I think there are answers that need to be forthcoming on that as well. The Western Journal reporting a preschool teacher in Portland, Oregon, went public about the challenges of being infected with monkeypox. But once the social media history of Marco Antonio Reyes Rojas became fully public, he was banned from working with small children, saying, quote, "I had a huge rash on my back. I had some on my neck, the back of my neck, the back of my head, my fingers, my face, my legs. That's when everything came to reality and everything pointed that you have monkeypox." Well, then the situation got worse when state officials, people felt sorry for him. There was a GoFundMe that was set up, but state officials were asked about when Reyes Rojas, who's 30, is openly gay, had been posting on social media. The Office of Child Care has determined that the individual is not suitable for the enrollment in the registry and that individual poses a substantial threat and serious danger to the health and safety of children and suspended the individual's enrollment from the Central Background Registry effective August 19th. Some very inappropriate postings that had been on there saying that he had posted sexually explicit and highly concerning posts about his physical and emotional state while working with children, child care, on his personal social media account. We'll have more stories right after the break. Stay with us.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Vic Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine-formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story.
This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and a news roundup day here today. We'll give you some opportunities in just a short while as well to call in on the broadcast here today. La Crosse, Wisconsin. La Crosse Tribune reporting that the La Crosse Common Council passed a ban on so-called conversion therapy for a second time now. They redrafted the original in hopes to protect it against legal challenges. The ban prohibits medical professionals from performing what they call conversion therapy on anyone under the age of 18 in the city of La Crosse. We understand the council passed this on an 8-4 vote, one abstention. Council member Mac Keel, who sponsored this, said, "I do not want us to be scared away because we might be sued, because we're looking out for the best interest for the people in this city." So we'll see if a lawsuit is going to be filed after this. But the La Crosse City Council defied the many citizens who spoke against this proposed ban, and last night passed the so-called ban on conversion therapy. A disturbing story to parents of preschoolers. Todd Starn says the story. The popular UK children's show Peppa Pig introduced its first same-sex couple on Tuesday, promoting substantial backlash from parents on Twitter, The Independent reported. The issue is addressed on the show. By the way, it is going to be released in the U.S. on Nickelodeon. A polar bear cartoon character draws a picture of her family featuring two adult female polar bears sitting at a table for dinner. "I'm Penny Polar Bear. I live with my mommy and my other mommy. One mommy is a doctor and one mommy cooks spaghetti. I love spaghetti," the character says. The introduction comes several years after over 23,000 signatories called on the show's writers to include a gay or lesbian couple in a campaign for inclusion and diversity. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it has hit Peppa Pig. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting the wealthy and influential Pritzker family is behind a push by Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago to push gender ideology onto children through public schools. The renowned hospital has received more than $20 million from James Pritzker and his family. In 2013, James Pritzker said he was transgender, began using the name Jennifer. His cousin is J.B. Pritzker, the pro-abortion, pro-LGBT Democratic governor of Illinois. J.B.'s sister Penny served as President Barack Obama's commerce secretary. Many of the family members are billionaires from real estate and other business holdings, which include the Hyatt Hotel chain, reports LifeSiteNews.com. Investigative journalist Christopher Ruffo, in reporting in City Journal, detailed how the Children's Hospital has provided materials to school leaders promoting radical gender theory, trans activism, and sexually explicit materials in at least four Chicago area public school systems. According to a whistleblower, those documents were circulated to administrators, teachers, and other staff at the middle school and high school level as part of an ongoing employee training program. Fox News reporting that children's hospitals nationwide will soon be faced with the decision whether to continue following the guidance of a leading transgender health association that is expected to lower its recommended ages, that is, for body-altering surgeries to minors under the age of 18. The World Professional Association for Transgender Health has yet to release its much-anticipated Standards of Care version 8 that will lower its age recommendations to 15 years old, and also for some procedures and other surgeries, 17 years old. Truly amazing what's going on. The World Transgender Health Organization posed now to give hospitals a green light to lower the age on their youth surgeries. Just to hit another issue today, there's much happening with Ukraine as well. Roll call reporting that the Biden administration is seeking tens of billions of dollars in emergency funds, part of the upcoming short-term spending bill lawmakers will take up later this month, but requesting some $47.1 billion. We understand that there is going to be Ukraine would receive $11.7 billion under the White House proposal, $7.2 billion in military aid, $4.5 billion to battle the spread of monkeypox virus, $600 million of that devoted to international efforts, $4.5 billion in direct budget support to the Ukrainian government as well. USA Today reporting that the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, said Wednesday that Moscow will press on with its military action in Ukraine until reaching its goal, and mocked Western attempts to drive Russia into a corner with sanctions. National Review telling us that Russia is turning to North Korea to buy millions of artillery shells and rockets. The New York Times is reporting, citing declassified U.S. intelligence. The report comes after Russia received the first batch of Iranian drones capable of conducting strikes and electronic warfare, and indicates a growing Russian dependence on foreign arms as its supplies dwindle 6 months into the Russia-Ukraine war. Jihad Watch reporting Iran's desperation to achieve a nuclear deal that will enable it to become a nuclear power was evident anew as the regime dangled a carrot to the sinking EU as the latter scrambles in the face of an energy crisis due to Russian gas cuts. Iran reminded the EU that winter is coming, and it urges a quick resolution to achieve a nuke deal on its own terms. Daily Wire telling us that the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced Wednesday that the European Union would propose a mandatory target for reducing electricity consumption during peak demand. European powers are scrambling to address energy shortages as natural gas prices increase more than tenfold compared to normal levels ahead of the winter months, pointing to a low hydropower generation and disruptions caused by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Von der Leyen revealed in a speech that the European Union plans to work with member states to limit that power usage. There are issues going on all over the world on this matter of power, and the U.S. is not going to be exempt in all of this. FoxNews.com, the U.N.'s International Atomic Energy Agency, released a report outlining the progress of Iran's nuclear program, warning that the agency cannot determine that the country's nuclear aims are exclusively peaceful. Can't guarantee that at all. Friends, let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. I know we've covered a number of issues. There's more here that I have in my stacks, but would like to hear from you today. Our number, 800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event issues, our number again, 1-800-733-9829. PJ Media is reporting between record heat waves in the U.S. and abroad, droughts in the middle of the country, fertilizer shortages, and rising costs for just about every farm input, many American farms are on the brink. Everyone will feel the pinch in continued food price increases and shortages in the stores. As bad as the agriculture outlook in America, it is far worse in Europe. Skyrocketing energy prices have farmers leaving crops in the fields to die. In Norway, one farmer's story is instructive. One vegetable farmer leaving his leeks in the field to die because the cost of harvesting and adequately storing them is too high. Another 29 tons of leeks are lost, a gross value of around $700,000. This is madness. This is food that should have been harvested and taken care of. On the farm, the family grows about 3,000 tons of vegetables. Each growing season, the leeks had normally been given to cold storage so that they would be found in Norwegian vegetable counters this winter, but the calculation simply does not add up for the farmer. And folks, this is happening in issues all around the world. Let's take your phone calls here today on Crosstalk. Our telephone number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And just one other note on this farming issue. This is from LifeSiteNews.com. Two Canadian farming industry groups have warned that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's goal of cutting fertilizer use by 30% would cause food production costs to skyrocket. The Canola Council of Canada and Fertilizer Canada yesterday co-published an in-depth report which took to task many aspects of Trudeau's radical climate plan targeting the Canadian agricultural industry. The analysis concludes that farmers in Canada could only manage a 14% reduction in fertilizer use without impacting the nation's food supplies. However, a 30% reduction is not realistically achievable without severely impacting productivity and profitability. So Canada, be warned. U.S., be warned as well. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. If you want to comment on these or other current event issues today on the News Roundup. Let's go to Will in Burlington. You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment more or less just on the transgender issue and the school issue. I just want parents to go to...
Go ahead, Will.
Voice your opinions. So challenge Christians that have kids in public schools. A pastor has a quote that says, you send your, you come home. When they come home, you're surprised that they come home as Roman soldiers. We continue to send our kids to the public school system, and the only way we...
I apologize, Will. You're constantly breaking up here, and we're not able to discern what you're trying to get through here, but we're able to somewhat make out what you're looking for here, and thanks for taking time to call from the road. Our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Caller from Milwaukee, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I think the report regarding the farmers and moving the produce from the fields is a great opportunity for consumers to go directly to the farmers to get their produce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, tragically, we saw what happened. It was an eastern state in which the Amish farm was raided for doing just that. By feds, weaponized federal agents to stop this because, you know, didn't come under the auspices of going through the proper food approval process.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty tragic. But thank you for the call here today. Lots of regulations that are being placed against many a farmer here across this land today, and many are just being buried in the regulation aspect themselves. The program we did the other day with Bill Jasper here on the War on the Farmer, if you missed that program, would encourage you to do just that, to tune in and to that broadcast at crosstalkamerica.com. Our number, 800-733-9829, Jonathan in Madison, Wisconsin. You're on the air. Hello, Jonathan. Jonathan, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
So my question is about conversion therapy. And the question I have is there's a lot of cities and states that are trying to get rid of this conversion therapy. And the question that I have for you, and ponder this, is the Word of God says, not by power, but by my Spirit. How do we think anybody's going to be transformed without the Spirit of God, and why we would think any type of conversion therapy would work in the first place? We as Christians want to push this conversion therapy like we're going to make any difference, and I believe it's a change of heart. And I just want you to comment on that, please.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate the call here today. Indeed, as Scripture points out, that such were some of you, but you're washed. And that's where true transformation takes place when one comes into saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We also look in the world around us today that there are many, many who are gender confused. And it is something that the one grows out of often, that one is wants to be a boy or be a girl and question their sexuality. But it is something in which we find that people will grow out of that. They come to the understanding, I am a biological boy, I am a biological girl. And to give somebody guidance in that and understanding even simple science in that regard is something that can be a help to them as well. But ultimately, yes, it's a spiritual issue. Thanks for listening.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Over the last 2 years, I have had the privilege of interviewing three men that were all prisoners of war at what they called the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. All of these men went under incredible torture and persecution. Why? Because they refused to comply with the communists. They refused to write propaganda. They refused to go on camera and give propaganda. They refused to cooperate with the communists. They resisted. How many of us in America today are cooperating with the communists, either by self-censorship, what we're not willing to say anymore, or by literally turning over our treasured institutions to them? Americans must learn from the prisoners of war of the Vietnam War that resisted and were involved in leadership, communication, organization, and resistance.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and your comments on these stories today or other current event issues are number 800-733-9829. We have a caller from West Des Moines, Iowa. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm just wondering what can we do besides just sit by and hear what's happening every day about the LGBTQ. They have acquired their freedom. But why are they allowed to insist other people live like them? If they want to live their life, it's free in this country. But why are they allowed to oppress and decide who can do what and who cannot do what, and like forcing their education even to preschool? I mean, what can we do to stop this and not have to go to jail or... Mm-hmm. I don't know. What can we do?
Well, when was the last school board meeting you were at?
At 85, I've only been to one.
Okay, in 85 years, you've been to school board meeting. Mm-hmm. Are you active in voting?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's certainly something you can do, is to be informed in that regard, but also to stand against policies. So even with school boards, it's and library boards, it is speaking up and letting your voice be heard. And so it's monitoring what's happening within the school boards or library boards, and then as policies are considered, to speak up in opposition to those things. It's also putting into positions of authority from aldermen to county leaders, to your mayors, to your state representatives, to the U.S. Congress, those that reflect your values. That is something that certainly can be done. When a library is wanting to have a drag queen story hour, it's making your phone calls to that library and speaking in opposition and informing others about that to do the same thing. In other words, it's being resistant to an agenda that's being forced upon individuals. It's when you see actions in your community or such where police departments are painting squad cars for LGBT Pride Month, and to voice your objection and talk to your aldermen about the use of tax dollars in the city that are going to promote this agenda. So it's many times we find ourselves just staying silent on issues, and it's actually giving pushback to that agenda that's being foisted upon us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the call. And certainly, but we need pastors. We need pastors in the pulpit to proclaim what God's word has said on these very issues. John in Ashland, you're on the air.
Thank you for everything, Jim. And
okay, John, thank you for your call here today, but we're not going to put out some of the things that you have there. Judy in Lancaster, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Judy, I need to have you. Judy, we're losing you, so I need to have you speak right into your phone if you can.
Okay, is that better?
Okay, it's a little better.
Okay, I was saying that when we were living in Preble County, and I was treating a patient in her home, but after each treatment, her husband liked to say something that was debatable to me. And this one particular night, he said, "You know, Judy, it's really the American farmer that has kept America free." Well, my husband was born on the farm, raised on the farm, and he was teaching vocational agriculture, and I'm forming my answer. But before I could get my answer out, he spoke again. And he said, "Yes, Judy, you just stop and think about it. Wherever man has enough food to put on the table for himself and his family, and it does not cost 60 to 80%, he's not anxious at all to unseat that government. But," he said, "when food doesn't become scarce, And when they do have to pay 60 to 80% of their income, he says, then you're going to hear the cries for revolt and revolution. Hmm. And I say, hey, that was back in 63, and that's almost 60 years ago, but what wisdom that man had.
Yeah. Yep, thank you so much for that. And as we shared the other day on the broadcast, that he who controls the food controls the people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, you know, what they're doing is coming right straight out of the Communist Manifesto. You know, in the manifesto, it talks about to take over a country, you control the energy or the oil, and you control the country. And then it says if you want to control the people, you control the food. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And if the lady that was on prior, that's similar, goes right along with that.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you. Thank you for the comment. Sally in Cookeville, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to comment something positive. At our local college here, we've had a drag show queen, drag show event, and, of course, children were there. And so we held a prayer event at the church. We're, you know, praying for our city and state and nation. But one of the local preachers is going to send a letter demanding equal time at the college so he can go and share the gospel.
Hmm. Very good.
So at least that's something.
Yes, it is. It is. Thank you, Sally, and for that pro action. Yeah, thank you. Armando in Chicago, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm a truck driver over here, and I just noticed what went on in Canada and all what's going on in the farms and all this, you know, all these, how they letting all these people in the streets live around and do drugs and do all types of stuff. All this stuff with the schools and the agenda with the kids and all these propagandas that they're shooting out to us, man. They're destroying our way of living in America, you know, and obviously something's going to happen, something bad. And we need to stand against that, because if not, we're going to find ourselves in a peril situation where we won't be able to come out of.
Mm.
And it's sad, man, what's going on these days.
It is sad. Thank you for the comment here today. And as we've referred to often, Paul had warned Timothy in the last days, perilous times would come. Did he not say that in 2 Timothy chapter 3? In these last days, perilous times would come. Men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said, from such, turn away. To turn away from this. Later it goes on and talks about the authority of God's word, tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And then he told Timothy the necessity of preaching the word. Friends, we need to get back to that. We need that in our pulpits today. Thus saith the Lord. It must take place from our nation's pulpits. And we must also translate that into our homes as well. Not go in your room and listen to that music. Not go in your room and play those violent video games. No, we need to be parents and stand up against this and said, no, not in my house. But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Our time is gone here today on Crosstalk. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, the Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.